Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Gravita India Limited Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manish Mahawar from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, moderator. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, I would like to welcome all the participants of the 2Q FY 2026 earnings call of Gravita India. We have with us leadership team represented by Mr. Yogesh Malhotra, Full-time Director and CEO, Mr. Sunil Kansal, Full-time Director and CFO on the call. Without any delay, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Malhotra for opening remarks, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to Yogesh.
Thank you, Mr. Manish. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings call. I hope you've had an opportunity to review the earnings presentation and financial results uploaded on the stock exchanges. I'm pleased to share that Gravita delivered a steady performance in H1 FY 2026, reflecting consistent strength across operational and financial parameters in all major business verticals. Supported by a net debt-free balance sheet, the company remains well-positioned for continued growth and long-term value creation. Prior to discussing the results, I will provide a brief overview of the strategic highlights and project updates. The company's expansion program is progressing as planned, with current installed capacity rising to 3.40 lakh metric tons per annum. Gravita aims to more than double this to over 7 lakh metric tons per annum by FY 2028, reflecting its commitment to scalable, sustainable growth. The CapEx budget has been realigned to approximately 1,225 crore by FY 2028, considering current business opportunities, strategic initiatives in existing verticals, and expansion into new recycling domains such as lithium-ion, paper, and steel. Of this, around 850 crore will be deployed towards strengthening existing verticals, while the remaining capital will support diversification initiatives. During H1 FY 2026, CapEx of about 105 crore has been incurred, and an additional investment of around 100 crore is expected in H2 towards capacity expansion. As part of our commitment to diversification, the pilot lithium-ion battery recycling unit at Mundra is scheduled to become operational in Q3 FY 2026. Phase one of Mundra lead capacity expansion of 30,000 metric tons per annum is expected to be commissioned by November 2025, while phase two, adding another 50,000 metric tons per annum, is targeted for completion by January 2026. FAGI lead recycling capacity enhancement of 45,000 metric tons per annum is underway and is expected to be completed by December 2026. Mundra project for rubber is expected to be commissioned by Q4 FY 2026, with revenue contribution anticipated from FY 2027, supported by stabilization of the Romania facility. To give an update on aluminum hedging mechanism, aluminum trading on MCX is yet to commence, but it is likely to begin anytime soon. The proposal has been approved by the MCX board, and all necessary documentation has been completed. Gravita continues to make steady progress towards achieving its FY 2027 ESG milestones, aligned with its broader sustainability roadmap extending to FY 2034 and FY 2050. The company's approach places ESG at the center of its operations. Promoting responsible practices, innovation-led efficiency, and transparent engagement to generate enduring value for stakeholders and communities. Coming to the operational performance, With the government tightening BWMR and EPR framework, greater accountability has been introduced across producers, recyclers and collection agencies. This has streamlined waste collection channels, reduced leakages to the unorganized sector and improved traceability, collectively driving an increase in domestic scrap availability. On the volumes front, total volumes witnessed a growth of 4% year-on-year in Q2 FY26. On a year-on-year basis, quarterly EBITDA per ton stood at ₹23,196 in lead, ₹14,786 in aluminium and ₹10,122 in plastics. Coming to consolidated financial results for the half year, Gravita reported revenue of ₹2,075.44 crore in H1 FY26, marking a growth of 13% year-on-year. 47% of this was driven by value-added products, reaffirming progress toward our Vision 2029 target of 50% contribution. Adjusted EBITDA increased to ₹223.51 crore, reflecting a growth of 16% year-on-year. The EBITDA margin remains strong at 10.77%. Profit after tax rose to ₹189.25 crore, marking a significant increase of 36% year-on-year. PAT margin stood firm at 9.12%. Throwing some light on the consolidated financial results for the quarter, Gravita reported consolidated revenue of 1,035.50 crore in Q2 FY23, registering growth of 12% year-on-year. Adjusted EBITDA rose to ₹111.81 crore, up 10% year-on-year, with margins stable at 10.80% on the back of operational efficiencies and a favorable product mix. Profit after tax stood at 95.99 crores, increasing by 33% year-on-year, with PAT margin maintained at 9.27%, underscoring strong profitability. Gravita is advancing confidently towards its Vision 2029, guided by a structured roadmap focused on scaling core businesses and expanding into emerging sectors such as lithium-ion, rubber, steel, and paper recycling. The company is targeting a volume CAGR of over 25%, profitability growth above 35%, and maintaining a ROIC of over 25% alongside ambitious targets to increase the non-lead segment share to 30% of total revenue, meet 30% of the energy needs through renewables, and reduce energy intensity by more than 10%. With a legacy of over 3 decades, 13 environmentally responsible state-of-the-art facilities, and a commercial presence across 70-plus countries, Gravita is well-positioned for sustainable and long-term value creation. Its growth momentum is supported by a focused CAPEX program, capacity expansion, and strong compliance with global standards. This trajectory is further reinforced by the company's emphasis on operational efficiency, value-added product expansion, disciplined risk management, and strong leadership, fostering continued stakeholder trust and confidence. That's all from my end. I would now request to open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you, and over to you, moderator.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have first question from Mr. Amit Lahoti from MK. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. 2 questions from my side. First on margins. We have consistently delivered higher lead margin compared to our 19 to 20 rupees guidance per kg. So at what point do we actually upgrade the sustainable guidance range? And is this increase in margin coming from India business or Africa?
Yes, over the past few quarters, if you see, the margins have increased, and part of this, that is because of improvement in efficiency, increase in value-added content, which we are currently having around 46%, and we wish to take it to around 50% in future. And we are to around 19 to 20 rupees now. Earlier it was around 18 to 19 rupees. So we now foresee that on a sustainable basis, we would be able to achieve around 19 to 20 rupees in lead.
But this 23 rupees when it comes, so definitely it comes with the compromise on the volume. So which slightly, when the Indian markets are better, so we sell overseas material to Indian markets, which fetches us better prices sometimes. And this is the arbitrage we got in this quarter, compromises something on the volumes and but better on the margins.
Okay, got it. And then second question on capacity commissioning timeline. So how close are we in commissioning grid capacity in Mundra and Phagi facilities? As from our last interactions, it was supposed to come sometime in the month of November. So are we there yet or is it going to take some more time?
So the Mundra capacity of 30,000 metric ton would be done within November itself. And another 50,000 ton would be done by Jan 26. Whereas the Phagi lead capacity also would probably be completed by December, mid-December. So all these...
And then how long it will take to ramp up?
So immediately, I mean, because these are brownfield projects, so we can start taking advantage of these capacities from part.
So we have already started building up the inventories in anticipation of this upcoming capacities. And as soon as we have the capacities live, we can start the production and ramp up the capacities in, immediately.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from Shivam Dave from MIV Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted some clarification on the capex that was guided for FY26. So I think we were supposed to do around 370 crores, but I think the PPT suggests that we would do around 200 crores. And the next 2 years remain really unchanged. But is there any rationale as to why your 1,500 crore capex came down to 1,200?
So what earlier we planned is that we will be expanding the capacities in the form of greenfield expansions. But later on we realized that we should have it at the same location, like we are expanding the capacity at our existing facilities in Mundra and another facility in Phagi. So where we the capex is significantly lower as compared to what we do in greenfield projects. So that is the reason with the same capacity we are coming up, same capacity is coming up with the lower capex. So that is the reason overall also we have saved on significantly on the capex with the overall capacity of around 700,000 tons in next 3 years, with the reduced capex of around 300 crores.
Okay, so that answers that your 4.6 lakh tons of capacity for FI6, and that's largely unchanged for the next 2 years also, like in terms of
yes.
Right? Got it. So yes. Should Mundra be the only greenfield that's coming up as of now that is scheduled? Most of it then could be brownfield.
So we are awaiting some approvals in Dominican Republic, which probably we are expecting to come in this quarter itself, Q4 of this year, and then we will start building up the capacities there in Dominican Republic. Apart from that, we are also exploring a project in East for lead, aluminium and plastic recycling in India, and next year onwards we will look into steel and paper recycling. That are going to be greenfield projects again.
Okay. And the second thing was the hedging mechanism for aluminium. I understand it is something that it's taking some more time. Practically, when do you expect this should actually come on to, when do you see that mechanism coming in place?
So we were expecting it to come probably last quarter itself, but it did not happen that way. And whenever we talk to the MCX, so they say that they would do it any time, but unfortunately it is taking longer than expected. So we can't comment right now, but we are expecting it any time. This, because all the approvals are in place now, the only thing they have to do is to just start the contract. So we are expecting every quarter, we expect that this will be the quarter that it will come. We are also waiting.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Makes sense. Fair enough. And as of FY20 can end, yeah, just one follow-up if you don't mind.
I would request
just one follow-up. Okay.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, as of FY27 end, what should be your lead capacity that we expect?
So, FY27 should be close to around 400,000 tons.
400,000, okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Participants, in order to ensure the management can address all your questions, I would request you to limit your questions to 2 per participant. We have next question from Mr. Amit Dixit from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations for a good performance. A couple of questions from my side. The first one is essentially the 700,000 capacity. What would be the breakup of this capacity between lead, aluminium, rubber and plastics? And if you will have lithium ion also at that point in time. So just wanted to get an idea on the breakup.
Okay, so lead should be close to 450,000 tons. Aluminium should be close to 70,000 tons. Plastic should be close to 50,000 tons again, and rubber should be close to 100,000 tons, and approximately 30,000 tons should be lithium ion. Other verticals.
Okay, great. The second one is bookkeeping question essentially. If you could highlight the revenue and PAT contribution of overseas operations in this quarter.
Okay, so because it was, as I mentioned, that there was some overseas volumes were also sold in India. So the contribution from the overseas business in the bottom line was 10 crores and the remaining was from India.
And top line?
So, top line was around 30% from overseas.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from Dheeraj Ram from BNK Securities. You may go ahead.
Thank you for taking the question.
Sorry for interrupting. Mr. Dheeraj, your voice is sounding very distant. Can you please be more loud?
Can you hear me now?
Much better.
Yes. So the capex has been reduced from 375 to 206 crore. So out of this, in last quarter, you have said that 50 to 60,000 tons will be added from lead, which approximately can be around 100 to 110 crores. So that leaves out leaving the new vertical, which is 40 crore, mostly will be going for lithium ion expected. So that leaves out 60 to 70 crore for non-lead verticals. So out of this 60 to 70 crore, where you're focusing on for FY26 especially?
So we'll be focusing majorly on tire business, and if we will increase the aluminium business in India if the MCX approval comes. Otherwise, we'll increase some capacities overseas in aluminium and plastics.
Okay, got it. And in last quarter, you have pointed out on major acquisition opportunity by mid FY27. So if MCX get included, ADC12 includes in MCX, so can we expect this acquisition opportunity to come in aluminum where you might increase your capacity by 2x or something or 3x in FY27 end?
So it's very hard to say when will those acquisitions take place. But yes, aluminum we are looking for acquisition. But again, as you mentioned rightly, that it depends on approval of MCX or the hedging mechanism to be in place before we do anything like that. But we are also exploring other options, like we are exploring options of rubber and plastic in other geographies, acquisition of some companies in other geographies also. So we are exploring a lot of opportunities for merger and acquisition in all segments, which will happen when it's very difficult to say right now.
Got it. And last question is, your revenue contribution from rubber that you're expecting in FY27?
In FY27?
Yes.
So, we have just started building up the rubber business. So, definitely we are expecting the rubber business, non-lead business should grow up to around 30%, which includes the rubber also by FY27. So, hopefully we should have a rubber business of around 70 to 80 crores by FY27.
And probably because it's a low value, we'll be able to give you a better answer in H1 next year when we've already started those plants in India, and then we will be able to give you a better answer as to what will be the total revenue coming from rubber.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from Mr. Vikas Singh from ICICI Securities. You may go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to understand this value addition sales, which you said that have generated the margins. Have we attained the full utilization or the full extent of this, or there is a further scope for increasing our value addition? And if yes, up to what percentage?
Currently, around 46% of our total volume comes from value-added product. Quarter on quarter, it varies between, sometimes it is 44-45%, sometimes like this quarter, it has gone up to 47% also. But our target is to reach to around 50% of value-added content in future.
Noted, sir. And how does this impact our overall margin if we manage to achieve our target at a current scale?
So generally, value-added products give you a 2.5-3% additional gross margin.
Noted. So my second question pertains to, along with you, almost other recyclers are also adding capacity. So just wanted to understand our sourcing strategy, considering that there was a news flow that some of the people whom we supply right now are thinking of putting their own capacity. So from where you would source that much of lead for recycling?
First of all, you have to understand that there is a lot of recycled battery scrap going to be available to the organized sector in India itself. As because of battery waste management rule, the shifting of material from unorganized to organized is already taking place. So there is going to be a huge opportunity. Currently, around only 35% of the total material comes to the organized sector. And the expectation is that all of that would shift, I mean around 90% would shift to the organized sector in the next 2 to 3 years. So there is going to be huge capacity expansion throughout the organized sector in India. And I don't think that raw material is going to be an issue. But in addition, we also have our own yards in overseas locations from where we import a lot of material. Currently around 50% of our total scrap that we operate in India comes from overseas locations. So we are continuously increasing our strength there also. So both Indian scrap as well as overseas scrap is going to contribute to the expansion in the future.
Noted, sir. Thank you. That answers my question.
Thank you very much. Next question is from Sumangal from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning and thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, my first question is on the volume. So if you look at 1H, volume growth has been in single digit. So wanted to understand what was the constraint. I understand the delays in expansion, but our stated capacity is still much higher. So first question is, want to understand the reasons, and then if we have this significant capacity across Phagi and Mundra getting added over the next 2-3 months, from fourth quarter onwards and in FY27, if we kind of assume even a 60% kind of utilization, it implies a 30-40% kind of a growth. So should we expect that? And do we have the scrap available with us to deliver that growth over the next few quarters?
Yeah, so to answer your first question, I think, I mean, so we were expecting a 4% sequential growth in the last quarter also, but because of this GST reduction that took place, so there was already an anticipation in the market that the GST in batteries would go down from 28% to 18%. So the trade reduced their overall inventories, because of which there were some delays from the OEMs in picking up materials, which impacted part of the volumes. We expect the impact would be around 5 to 7, 8% of the volumes dropped because of this particular reason. But we have we anticipate to cover this in H2, and we have ample inventories in place at least for Q3, and the procurement is going on for Q4 volumes also, keeping in mind the expansion that is taking place in this quarter. So you can expect again, as we mentioned, that in the long term we are very confident of achieving the 25% growth in volumes going forward.
Sir, in FY27, whatever we've lost in terms of lower volumes this year, so in the new capacity of around 120-130 kt, should we expect 60-70% utilization in FY27 for this new capacity?
Not immediately, because, you know, when we build up capacities, we build up with the thought process that in future we will start receiving more and more batteries. So we'll start some of those efforts to increase that battery capacity also, I mean, procurement capacities also. Once we've done part of it already, and the balance part would be done in Q3 and Q4. And you can expect probably from Q1 next year or maybe Q2, the capacity to go to the optimal level of 60 to 70% utilization. And these capacities are enough to give you a 25% growth for the next 1 year itself. By that time, we are planning to build up more capacities.
Understood. So my second question is, on your opening remarks, when you mentioned that on the ground there is some tightening happening and more compliance on BWMR. So in over the last 3-4 months, can you highlight few developments? What is the change, and how are you, some anecdote in terms of what are you seeing on the ground, more compliance with respect to BWMR?
The biggest evidence is the procurement of battery scrap, domestic battery scrap, and we have increased it by around 35% this year, Q2 versus Q2. H1 also, there is an increase in battery of around 22%. So there is a continuous increase in availability of battery scrap overall to us. And that is itself a clear indication that overall regulation is becoming stricter, and more battery companies are now focusing on buying from companies who can give them EPR credits also.
Understood. And just one last question on the, a lot of our peers are quite positive on the copper business, and they're investing and growing that business as well. What is our take? Have we evaluated in the past, and are we kind of studying it and planning anything in that?
Yeah, so we keep on evaluating all segments in recycling, as we mentioned earlier also. So far, we are not focusing that much on copper, because as per our studies, value addition in copper is very small. And there is no proper scrap generation in India. So we are not very confident of bringing copper scrap into India, but definitely we'll keep on re-evaluating copper as a segment, as we do for other segments also. It's not that we don't want to do copper at all, but we regularly evaluate the market scenario, what is happening in different commodities, and based on that we take decision on where to grow and when to grow. So copper is also part of our evaluation, but right now we don't believe that the ROCs are of the same level as which we expect from other businesses. So we are focusing on other businesses first, and then probably copper also would follow suit.
Understood. And if I can ask one more question.
Sorry for interrupting.
Okay, no problem. No problem. Thanks. Thank you, and all the best to the management.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from Jayesh Shah from OHM Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah. My first question is, you know, in your opening line comment that your loss of volumes is basically an arbitrage on the margins, which is why you have higher margins. Can you explain this better? Because what we have seen is first quarter also you have lacked on volumes, and so in second quarter probably the GST explanation is there. But what is the real constraint? Is it the inventory or is it lifting of the OEMs? And does this mean that overall you have lost market share in the first half vis-a-vis other players?
No, market share, actually, if you look at the overall market share globally, probably the market share is minuscule. So saying that we've lost market share, generally, whatever customers we are servicing, there no market share erosion has taken place. We are still increasing market share on a regular basis. Capacity is definitely a constraint. The other constraint, as we mentioned in the opening remarks also, that when there is a option to increase volume, vis-a-vis increase the overall profitability, we go for the second and improve our profit. So, for example, we have our own operations in overseas locations. So rather than selling directly to the third party, we bring that material into India, do some processing in India, and then sell it to the customers in India. So that way we increase profitability, but of course in the consolidation, the value, the volume from other our subsidiaries get cancelled out. So you don't see the total volume, although if you look at the production levels, there would be an increase in production. But now with this capacity increase that we're talking about, in addition to that, processing the scrap from our operations overseas, we can also take on more scrap in India itself. Earlier there was a constraint because if we bring in the scrap from our overseas locations, we were not able to process the Indian scrap to some extent.
So what you're trying to say is that if I gross up the volume from your international business, that your volume growth is in line, is it?
Yes. To some extent.
I see. It would be interesting if you can reveal these figures in the quarterly presentation, then we have a better idea, because this is a bit confusing.
So we'll try to somehow find a solution to this and on how to make it more clear.
Right. And as a corollary to what you are saying is that when you expand capacities now and when the volumes go up, the margins will trend down again to 19-20 rupees per kg, is it?
No, not exactly 19 to 20 because we will still, so 19 to 20 rupees will only happen if we stop bringing that material to India at all. Till the time there is some opportunities, you can see expect some increase over 19 to 20 rupees. But once that arbitrage is off, then definitely it would be around 19 to 20 rupees only.
Okay. In this case, how do we look at your overall guidance, which is, you know, revenue you've given in terms of absolute growth number, and you have mentioned 19 to 20 rupees, because first half the numbers are not really in track. We are happy to see that you've done better on margins, but you are lacking on revenue and volumes. So
So, sir, we generally say that because, I mean, so you can look at the overall total EBITDA or PAT numbers rather than looking only at volume and the ROC from the businesses that we are doing. So these are the two major areas where you can track our performances.
Okay. And sometime back, you have talked about some acquisition in Europe or, you know, some kind of discussion going on. Any update on that?
So we've already acquired a company, a tire recycling company in Romania, and we're looking at options in Eastern Europe. We are exploring options in Eastern Europe to either set up more such units or maybe look for opportunities where we can buy out some tire recycling or maybe even lead or aluminum recycling companies there.
So that's still under on the lookout, is it? That's the update I was looking at.
So one company has already been taken over, and we are increasing capacity in that company itself, and then we are also looking out for other opportunities in Eastern Europe.
Okay. Thank you very much. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Parikshit Kabra from PKD. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to do a follow-up on the previous gentleman's question about the volumes and your explanation. If I understood correctly, you implied that when you source scrap abroad and you find that you're getting a better price in India, you bring the scrap to India and you process it in India and then you sell it. And because of this, are you saying that your capacity abroad, where you would have ideally liked to use that scrap, is lying idle and hence your volumes are not rising?
No, it's not. So we do part of the process in those countries, and the second part where what we call refining or alloying, etc., those capacities definitely are running idle to some extent, and we are utilizing Indian capacities for that extent. So we are increasing those capacities in India so that even when we bring those material into India, we still have the capacities to process the domestic scrap that we buy on our own in India.
So then are you essentially saying that, look, there is no demand problem abroad, but you are purposely bringing the scrap to India because your overall margins improve in India? But surely, you know, even if your margins don't increase, by utilizing your full capacity there and selling it here, there, and using your sourcing lead in India and utilizing your capacity in India and selling it in India, your absolute profit would rise because of overall volume increase and revenue increase, even if the margins come down.
No, we always take that into consideration and only bring when we see that the overall margins also increase, overall EBITDA also increase by bringing those material into India. If that is not the case, then we don't do it. So we are also aware of this thing, but whenever there is an option of bringing it into India and getting overall EBITDA increase in overall EBITDA, only then we go and do it.
Got it.
So the margins offset the overall EBITDA that you make by selling those products.
The reason why I think you're pushing on this is because your competitor has grown at 40% top line and you have grown at 10% top line, and you're playing in a similar market, right? You both are supplying mostly to your customers in India. And you know, at the same time, but you're saying that this plays out fine and, you know, they are obviously growing at 40%. So wouldn't it be fair to say that you're losing market share?
No, as I mentioned that, see, it depends. The global market is too huge for anybody to lose market share. Some of the companies, are not supplying to the customers to whom we are supplying. They have a different customers globally. So I don't think there is, and as it is, the overall market is increasing to such an extent that everybody can grow, keeping the same market share. So, but as we also mentioned that there was some restriction because the capacities that we were trying to put up in probably H1 this year got delayed and are coming up in H2 this year. So once those capacities are in place, we will be able to increase our production and then we'll be able to sell those material into the market again.
Got it, sir. And sir, my second question was on the aluminum side. I understand we are waiting for the MCX to approve the hedging mechanism, but of course the other bottleneck would be getting approval from OEMs or whoever your customers are for the quality of aluminium that you're providing after recycling. So, once the MCX hedging mechanism comes online, is the other bottleneck already solved for? Do you already have approvals from a bunch of OEMs who you start immediately supplying once the hedging mechanism comes online?
So there are two aspects. Definitely, if we have some OEM approvals, but not some of the major OEMs have approved us. So that is one part. But the second part is that once MCX comes into place, you can openly sell the material to the exchange itself if you make ADC-12, if there is a demand, rather than looking for a OEM approval. So to answer your question, there are two parts. Definitely, we will be also looking at some opportunities where we can probably take a stake in a company that already has OEM approval, and we are also currently considering some of these companies, but we are waiting for the MCX approval to start happening first. And the second part is that even if that does not happen, there will be a market where we'll be able to sell at a market price the moment we'll buy material overseas. So selling itself is not a problem, though the margins would be higher if you are able to sell it to the OEMs directly in India. But other than that, I mean, we were still selling that material in India without OEM approval also.
Got it, sir. And sir, your manpower cost seems to fluctuate up and
down. Mr. Parikshit, I would request you to rejoin.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Next question is from Mr. Parik Gandhi from Virushka Capital Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking this question. I just wanted to know that with respect to the 7 lakh capacity that we are eyeing for the FY28, how much of this with respect to paper and steel are we eyeing? Because from this call as well, from a previous call as well, what I could understand is that a major focus is on the existing verticals along with expanding the lithium ion one and the rubber ones. So how does paper and steel come into this picture? And do we foresee this as well as the next, which can really help our top line as well?
So in paper and steel, we are not expecting any capacity out of the 700,000 tons capacity. Whatever paper and steel are going to happen is beyond this 700,000 metric ton.
Are we sure to incur this the next year as well, for the paper and steel? Because in the previous con call, you did mention that the earlier capex was supposed to get incurred for paper and steel, but then we moved the capex to the existing verticals. So how do we see going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. Our current focus is on existing verticals and the new verticals that we've already started of rubber and lithium ion battery. And we are probably once we are done with those, and we are very confident of getting the 30 to 35% increase in revenue numbers from the existing and the new verticals in the next 3 to 4 years. And once after that we will be exploring paper and steel. It's only one by one that we are exploring all these facilities rather than going at all the segments at once.
Okay, so no capex for paper and steel for now.
Not in this year, and probably not in the first half of next year also. Beyond that, if there are certain, we see some changes in the environment, we will probably do it. But at least for the next H1 of next year, there is no commitment to put any money in paper or steel.
Okay. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you very much. Next question is from Siddharth from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a good set of results. Just one question on the rubber side of things. So, from what I understand, this space is fairly saturated. There are a few large existing players operating in this.
Sir,
Am I audible now?
Yes,
am I audible now, sir? Okay, perfect.
Yes.
So, sir, I was asking, at least in the rubber space, it seems that there are a few large players already operating in India. So I just wanted to check, given our sort of focus on rubber as the newest vertical, what exactly gives us the confidence or the right to win in this space? So just would like to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So again, if you look at rubber also, it's a very fragmented industry right now, rubber recycling. And there has been an introduction of EPR very recently, and earlier it was around 90% of the total capacity in rubber recycling was in the unorganized sector. Because of this EPR and also some regulations by CPCB of continuous pyrolysis plants, the older plants or the unorganized sector will probably go away, and again the rubber recycling would also start happening in the formal sector. That is one part. The second part is we already have our own scrap yards overseas where we can source cheaper tire and rubber scrap, which will help us in getting better margins out of rubber recycling. And the third part is we are also looking at various other options rather than merely pyrolysis oils like RCB, rubber sheets. So all these carbon black also. So we are looking at various other options in rubber recycling and not only pyrolysis oil. So where currently also there are very few players. So we believe that there is enough space in this segment also where we can recycle it in a profitable manner.
So sir, if I were to sort of ask you what sort of economics you do see from the business, I understand that last time we highlighted that we will have further clarity as our plans progress. So would you be in a position to give me the unit economics of, say, the rubber division, say, 3 years down the line?
See, currently we are taking the lowest of, in our projections, we take the lowest EBITDA margins of around 7 to 8 rupees per kg. As and when we go in for some value addition, definitely the margins would improve. But in our projections, we've already taken, if we don't do any value addition and only go in for the pyrolysis oil and rubber sheets, etc., which are run-of-the-mill products, even then the EBITDA margin is around 7 to 8 rupees per kg.
And on a percentage basis, that number would be? Percentage EBITDA.
Should be close to
30%.
30%. 30%. Okay. Okay, got it. Sir, just a second question, sir. Just wanted to check that we are saying that the ADC, alloy 12, all the approvals are in place. Just wanted to confirm one small point, sir. Any incremental change which has happened in the last, say, 3 months?
So, what we can tell you is that all required permissions are in place in M6. So there is nothing left. So all the permissions are in place.
But from what I understand, this was the case last quarter as well. Or has anything changed in the past, say, 3 months?
No, internally also they have, the go ahead to go for all these commodities that are there, for which the permission has been granted. But beyond that, we don't know what exactly is happening and where it is stuck.
Okay, so last time there was no internal approval from the MCX side for these contracts. Is that understanding correct, sir?
Yes, yes. That is our understanding. That now even the internal permissions are in place for them to launch these products.
But sir, even if you get these like MCX alloys, if you don't have OEM approvals, my understanding is almost 65% to 70% of the total ADC demand is tied to the auto industry. If you don't have the auto OEM approvals in place, I was just thinking, how do you plan to expand it, this particular segment? Any thoughts on that, sir?
Sir, there are three things. First of all, of course, we have OEM approval, but not of the major OEMs like Maruti. That approval is not there. So that is one. Second part is, even if you do not have approval from Maruti, you can just sell it to tier 1 or tier 2 vendors, and there the margins would be lower. But you can still sell it to those customers in India. But the reason why we were not doing it is because the margins were thin, and because the overall time period for realizing the profit was too high, and because of no hedging mechanism, sometimes you would run into profits higher than expected, and sometimes you will run into losses also. So we were avoiding that. Otherwise, if you look at what I buy today and sell it to even a trader or a tier two company, there are margins to be made in aluminium also. We mentioned that on a sustainable basis, around 12 to 14 rupees margin can be made in aluminium. Not as high as lead, but even if you sell it to tier two companies, you can make around 12 to 14 rupees EBITDA margins on aluminium.
And these are tier one, tier two suppliers of to these auto OEMs. Is that correct, sir?
Yes.
Got it, guys. So, just one last question, if I can squeeze in.
I would request you to rejoin the queue for a follow-up.
Sure thing. Thanks for your time, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from Archit Agarwal from Step Trade Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Can you throw some light on the revenue mix as of now?
Yes, one thing.
Okay, so revenue.
So 87% of the revenue has come from lead, 9% from aluminium, and 4% from plastic.
Okay, and volume wise?
So this was volume, as I was mentioning, was volume only.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Next question is from Romil from Electrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So just two questions. One is on this one.
Sorry for interrupting. Mr. Romil, your voice is breaking. Mr. Romil, please go ahead. Your line is unmuted.
You can hear me properly?
So your voice is
yes, now we
Mr.
Yeah,
Mr.
Roman, we can hear you.
I
can join you. It's breaking now.
Mr. Roman, I would request you to reconnect because we can't hear you. Next question is from the line of Karan Gupta from ACMIL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My question is regarding the EBITDA per ton. Am I audible?
I mean, can you speak a little louder? You're audible, but...
Yeah, my question. Yeah, just a second. So my question is regarding the EBITDA per ton. As you've already alluded on the lead side that 19 to 20 is more sustainable and margin lucrative. What for aluminium and plastic side? You said 12 to 14 rupees per ton is...
Currently... because we are not doing business in India, our overseas margins are a little higher, of around 14 to 15 rupees. But if we do it in India, the margins would be around 12 to 14 rupees in aluminium. And for plastic, the sustainable would be around 10 to 11 rupees per ton. Per kg.
Yeah. Okay, and just one last one on the copper card is... partly answered, but what kind of value addition that you are seeing is limited as of now, and is it the sourcing is limited or the process that you need to refine or maybe collect the raw scrap is basically the complex as of now?
Yeah, so generally when we talk about the scrap that we are doing, like battery scrap, aluminium scrap, etc., we are buying it from developing countries. There we have our own yard. So part of the advantage that we hold is access to the scrap availability. Whereas in copper, most of the scrap generation happens in the developed countries like Europe and US. And it's a very, organized setup. So, and accessible to each and everyone. So there is very little play in terms of getting a better procurement price. The second thing again is bringing it to India and then doing the processing. So processing is also very simple, because copper is just copper metal, whereas in lead you remove impurities, make value-added products out of that, and there where the margin comes to. Whereas in copper, generally it's in terms of cables, you take off the layering and then melt the copper, and then you can sell it at a percentage of copper price anywhere you want. So therefore, the value addition of whatever we think is not that high when you deal in copper pricing. But overall, definitely it helps you improve revenues also, because copper prices are higher. So those advantages are there with copper. But in terms of percentage EBITDA margin that you can get out of it, or even absolute EBITDA margin, would definitely be higher, because the prices are 4 to 5 times that of lead or aluminium. But in terms of percentage EBITDA margin, it will never match those numbers.
Obviously, never match.
That is our take on copper. But others are doing it profitably, then we'll have to see where, probably we'll have to reevaluate it again.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Next question is from Kishore Kumar from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to understand the broad procurement split of domestic and imports for the scrap for this quarter vis-a-vis the last year.
Yeah, so overall, we are at close to, for Indian plants, we are close to 50% import and 50% domestic. But yes, we have another line where we source overseas and process overseas. So that's another part. But for India, we are 50-50.
So just to clarify, for the Indian business, it's 50% sourced domestically and 50% we are getting it from the overseas plants. Overseas, yeah.
Yes. Now domestic has slightly gone up. It is around 52% domestic battery and around 48% overseas battery.
But so is the split similar for the last Q2 as well, sir? Like year on year, is there any difference?
Last year around 36% of the battery was Indian battery, and around 64% was imported.
Got it, sir. So my second question is on the balance sheet, bookkeeping questions. Other current assets have actually gone up significantly. Is there any prepaid expenses actually accounted there, or capital advances?
You are talking about other current assets, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay, so basically this includes whenever we import the scrap, we need to pay the advances to the vendor. And considering the upcoming facilities in Mundra, which is mostly our import dependent, so we are coming up with significant capacity expansion in Mundra. So in anticipation of the upcoming capacity, we have started increasing the import bookings and made some import advances also, which is helping us to ramping up the capacities as soon as we have the capacity live. So this denotes the more imports up in the upcoming quarters.
Got it, sir. It's clear. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Yeah. Thank you, moderator. Thank you, everyone, for participating in this call. We trust that we have addressed all your queries during the session. However, if there are any remaining questions, please feel free to reach out to our investor relations team. Once again, we extend our gratitude to all the participants for joining us today. Thank you and have a great day.
On behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.